Oh yeah, there's some tasty old man.
Take a look at the power pack.
The venue's a dump.
At Jesse the Body and Gorilla Monsoon calling the action. Thank God.
Jesse the Body looks like a zebra fucking version of Crocodile Dundee. Oh, now it's part of his package as well.
I couldn't be a catcher in the major leagues. What's better than this, man? A 14-man tournament, the fucking two cassettes.
Sometimes a Hummer's better in the morning than in the evening.
Yeah, seal the deal. Like Jesse Buick.
I get it. Enough with the foreplay. Slide it in. How many times did I tell you that Little Richard shit sucked ass? I know Vanna very well, and I'm going to be plowing the babe. No. I'm plowing the babe.
The happening, pulling out all the stops, getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Give Vanna the banana.
Why? Sometimes they're going to drop in a surprise Luger at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Like,
Tiny V was pimping
her
out.
Go over there, give her the hot beef injection. Keep the fucking kid at home, man.
The finish surely didn't make me hard either.
Smash the baby!
So, the fist blow from the top is real cheap.
What are you woofing for? You're a gang. You're not a dog. You're a man.
Just because it's the most fucking populous area doesn't mean most of us live there.
There are more people. What are you trying to say?
Greg can't fucking find my sock. That's fucking fantastic. He's gonna drown all the fucking Hulkamaniacs. You can't put everybody on your back and then do a backstroke.
What about the gamble that all those sweat hogs were taken by Lepner women coming up with his ravishing body? Oh, yeah, and then you got some of them patented hip gyrations.
Fucking the ring over here.
I'm gonna fucking take your face and jam it in the gut. I just left on the mat.
I'm already fucking way happier than I have been for the past two seasons.
My fucking leopard.
Cassette tape wraps number up. One. And now.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents.
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Bags.
Handsome
Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
It's what the world is watching.
What the world is watching.
Today, we're going to be covering WrestleMania 4, Season 6, Episode 1 here. We're going to be covering the first half of WrestleMania 4. Because if you'll, you know, go back in the time machine, this thing came on two VHS tapes.
That was a double whammy.
And this is the longest show of the golden era of the WWF. So we figured instead of trying to cram, 16 matches into a, 3-4 hour spectacular here, we'll split it up into two shows like they did with the two tapes.
Well, yeah, it's nice, man. It's nice. Part one, part two. The VHS, that was always like... So when you were young, right, and you got that VHS and you popped part one in, did you, after time, did you just forget where it cut out? You're like, oh, shit, got to grab the other tape.
I mean, it wasn't clear on the back of the tape which matches were on tapes one and two, so right. There was some confusion there.
Yep.
Especially as a youngster.
Yeah, when I had, the VCR and I'd always watch old VHSs when I went to bed when I was younger. Sometimes I'd just pop in part two, right? Just throw part two in, I'll fall asleep. But I eventually shifted over to part one because I always wanted to watch the Battle Royal.
The card kicks off with that 20-man Battle Royal, and the big deal here for this show is the 14-man elimination tournament for that vacant WWF title. First time in its history it had been vacated. If you'll recall, Andre won the title. I think it was a month or two before the Mania here on the Saturday night, or on the main event. It wasn't Saturday, it's the main event.
It's just the main event.
And then he sold it to DiBiase. Now, DiBiase had spent the previous 6 months since he came to the Federation trying to buy the title from the Hulkster, but Hulkster wasn't going to sell it.
Why not?
It's not one of the demandments, but I think it's probably one of his principles.
Don't sell the world title is one of his principles?
I mean, would you sell the world title?
Hell yeah. If I'm the Hulkster, right?
What's your price, man? That's, I don't know. That was always the question with the Million Dollar Man.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I'm the Hulkster, I believe I'm going to win it back, right? So who gives a shit if I sell it to Ted? I'll sell it to Ted every other day, and then I'll just win it back because I'm the Hulkster.
I think it destroys the integrity of the championship, man.
But does it destroy the integrity of the Hulkster?
I think so. This is part of the arc that made Andre a heel.
If it does both, then maybe I wouldn't.
Hulkster was a great heel, though.
Yeah, no, I know what he was, man.
Wouldn't have been a bad move.
I watch wrestling.
There's some pretty tasty, dirty old man spots.
You are something else, man. You gotta find a new word.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I'm not knowing what you're saying anymore. The preview episode, all you wanted to do was taste all the performers, and we move into the first card of the season, and you're just like, oh yeah, there's some tasty old man. You gotta work on that, brother. I'm worried about you. I mean, that's your thing. Yeah. That's your thing, right? I'm not here to shame you, right? You taste whoever you want. But I don't want our podcast to turn into some weird, sick freak sex fetish show. All right.
So you're saying I should come up with some new material?
Maybe, yeah, maybe, maybe just stop tasting everything, right?
I'll think about it.
All right, good idea.
So let's get on with it here, man. This son of a bitch took place live on March 28th, 1988, from the Trump Plaza in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in front of 19,199.
So, much smaller venue than three, obviously.
Oh, you know, yeah.
They actually pulled in about the same amount.
Really?
Yeah.
Just charged more. I bet for three, there was probably, you know, giveaways to fill up the place.
Well, there was giveaways for this as well, but essentially they put a bunch of money into the venue because the venue's a dump. So like lighting and all that kind of stuff, that they really kind of went above and beyond in trying to prep for it to be, make it look better than it actually was. But one of the things that they got with it was that like all their hotel, all that kind of stuff was thrown in as part of the package of holding WrestleMania there. So that stuff that they would normally pay for that they didn't have to pay for. So there's a lot of things like that that kind of balanced out, but also the, like it's a casino. So they had, you know, the casino, I'm guessing, bought like the high roller tickets for their high rollers. I think they made, it was either as much or just more than Mania 3, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, it's an old building.
It's a shithole.
It's actually on the Registry of Historic Places. That's
it's
how old it is.
It's that old?
Yeah, man.
No way.
So you think they should have torn it down rather than make it a historic landmark?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've never been there, but it seems weird that it's a historical landmark. What's it, fucking made right next to the Liberty Bell? The shit's going on there.
I like that entryway, man.
Entryway's okay.
It's pretty cool.
It's got steps, and then it kind of flattens out into a ramp. I think they should just went on ramp the entire way.
Can you really beat that that mini ring thing that they had in Mania 3?
No, God, no. Nothing ever will beat that.
I think they brought it back for 6 as well, right?
Okay, yeah. There was another one that they did, yeah.
Because I think the Hulkster, you know, went off into the sunset on his, and the Warrior, like, ran down, you know, in lieu of riding in the thing.
Right.
But, yeah, it would be kind of silly in this setting. Not nearly as long of an entrance, but...
What about a elevator? A wrestling ring elevator? Just lower him down?
That'd be something.
That'd be interesting.
We're kicking this thing off. No opening package, but, you know, it's the WWF, what the world is watching. It's got some classic 80s electronic music.
They got like a sweet little gambling gimmick there.
Oh, yeah, there's slot machine graphics.
Slot machine, and then it all... Well, everything comes up WrestleMania. It's kind of cool.
We got Jesse the Body and Gorilla Monsoon calling the action. Thank God.
Jesse the Body looks like a zebra fucking version of Crocodile Dundee. The fuck is he doing?
He's looking sharp, man. He's got the cowboy hat, the zebra tights.
He looks like fucking Crocodile Dundee dressed as a zebra. Well, that's not a zebra. This is a zebra.
This is not his most outrageous getup of the season.
I know it's not. It's just a weird... It's just WrestleMania, man. Where's your suit?
Well, Gorilla's wearing the suit.
Well, he's the only one, personnel, right? Backstage interview guy that's not wearing a suit.
Maybe he's, you know, still a wrestler at heart.
I don't give a fuck what he is at heart.
He had, you know, just recently been forced to retire, man.
Yeah, and we're all real sad. Put on a fucking suit.
He wants to see the body with the suit,
man. He wants to dance the suit up a little bit, right? Dance the suit up a little bit.
You know when he was the governor?
I know when he was the governor. Yes, I remember.
It wasn't the same him with the suit. It's part of his appeal, man.
If part of your appeal is that you dress inappropriately, you got to find new appeal.
It's just part of the package.
Oh, now it's part of his package as well. Is he wearing zebra skin condoms? You freak.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's not
quick fun. Quick fun fact about the body. You know who gave him the body name?
Oh, I was going to say probably a handful of lovely ladies along the way, but the name, I don't know, man. Who gave him the name? Was it Andre the Giant?
It was Vern Gagne.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he became a big star in the AWA here in Minnesota.
I got a cauliflower ear from my days back in the AWA. I don't do a good Jesse.
But man, just like a minute into this show, I'm just super thankful that I get to listen to The Body and Gorilla.
Yeah.
I mean, we named our damn channel after Gorilla. And it's a happening, man. He tells us quite a few times it's a happening. It's the greatest thing we're ever going to see, and I believe him. What's better than this, man? A 14-man tournament, a fucking two cassettes? What could be better?
That's a fair point. Two cassettes. Two cassettes is kind of where you sell me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it's a value, man.
A one-night single elimination tournament, I'm in. Yeah.
Battle Royal,
yeah, there's a lot of good things.
Tag title match.
It's fair, man. It's fair. All right. I'm sold. Stop selling
me. Six-man with the Samoans.
I get it. Enough with the foreplay. Slide it in.
Well, Bob Uecker, he joins the booth. So Uecker's dressed sharp as well.
Of course he is.
So is Gorilla. Gorilla's always looking good.
Yeah. Professionals.
And we hear a chorus of boos. I don't know if they're booing Uecker, if they're booing the guys coming down the aisle.
Well, wait a sec. Wait a second. You're not going to mention Gladys?
Oh, shit. I jumped right over that.
You fucking forgot about Gladys? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Well, me and Gene Okerlund introduces Gladys Knight, who he calls one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Man, my first note. Bitch can sing. She's good.
Yeah, she does her own little, like, medley.
Yeah, man.
Of freedom.
Yes. Like, I don't know what her other material is, right? I'm just maybe it's just not my element, right? I know she was with the Pips, right? I don't know what the Pips are. I don't know what a Pip is.
But I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah.
And Midnight Train to Georgia for a couple of the banging.
Gotcha.
Banging numbers.
Yeah, Gladys Wales, man. And that, like, that little medley she did, right? Shh. Weeping Gravedigger. I think I might go in a Gladys Knight, I almost said glory hole, but what I meant to say was rabbit hole. Wait, a Gladys Knight glory hole, would you?
I mean, I suppose it doesn't matter who it is, right?
Right.
Yeah, she does a nice job. You take this or you take Little Richard?
I take fucking Gladys Knight. Golly. How many times did I tell you that Little Richard shit sucked ass? I probably told you four times in the start of that episode that Little Richard shit sucked ass. And now you ask me if I take Little Richard or Gladys Knight. What, did I not praise her enough?
You take Gladys Knight or you take Caesar and Cleopatra?
Ooh. All right.
Media Nine.
So now we're talking, and here's why we're talking. Generally speaking, I don't think that they should do the fucking America songs before the event, right? It's weird. I don't think there's any reason for it. Like, hey, we're all here to see wrestling. By the way, America, right? It's never made sense to me. It's not going to make sense to me. WrestleMania 9, they didn't do it, right? They didn't. They just brought out Caesar and Cleopatra. I'm not much of a Caesar guy. I know you probably want to taste them. It's probably your favorite dressing. Oh, yeah. But.
Oh, yeah.
That Cleopatra. She might have moved the needle a little bit.
Yeah, she was a babe, man, and those other babes feeding the Vespa Virgins from feeding the Macho Man.
Not the Vespa Virgins, man. Golly.
Yeah, that's a callback. First episode.
Vestal. Not the motor scooting virgins.
Do you take the anthem or you take America the Beautiful?
Yeah, I probably take America the Beautiful.
Well, at least they got that right.
Right.
All right, well, getting into the action here. So we got Bob Uecker in the booth. He and Jesse kind of exchanged barbs about, I think Uecker was on WrestleMania 3. He jokes about actually getting hired back.
Yeah.
Because he's a pretty horseshit baseball player getting cut all the time. You know, he had an average of under 200.
Wow. That's not good.
You got to suck real bad.
I don't know much about baseball, but I know that under 200 is you're probably not hitting the lineup too many times. Maybe he was more of like a defensive guy, right?
I think he was a catcher, which there is value in being a catcher.
Right, right. So maybe he's just a kick-ass catcher that couldn't hit the ball.
Here's a fun fact number two.
You're full of them today.
I couldn't be a catcher in the major leagues.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Because I'm left-handed.
Who gives a shit? You could still be a left-handed catcher.
There hasn't been a left-handed catcher in the major leagues in decades. There's
no
only
way.
Been like a handful of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I did not know that. But I will also say this. I don't think the fact that you're left-handed is what's holding you back from being a major league catcher.
All right. Well, just, you know. Trying to slide it in there, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I'm very certain that just being left-handed is not holding you back from being a major league catcher. I think there's quite a few other things.
I couldn't have been much worse than Uecker batting 200.
You could have been.
You think so? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of sliding one in there, Vanna White, she's the other celebrity co-host. And Uecker is just all over her. So we'll hear from her later. Uecker, he's a play-by-play guy, so he actually kind of fits the mold here.
Yeah.
Vanna's role doesn't require her to talk on her show, so she, you know, is a little awkward.
You think?
All right, before we get into the action here.
What? Jesus Christ, man, we've been working on the intro for 20 fucking minutes.
All right, let's get into the action here.
You take a weird side road to mention that Vanna White is not in her element. What the fuck else could there be?
All right, let's get into the action.
No, I want to know what the fuck it was. Like, all right, before we get into the actions, what the fuck else do we need to talk about? But another fun fact? You can hit me with three fun facts.
All the titles are on the line tonight, man.
That's it?
Well, I had like all the matches, you know, the rundown, but then I realized we're at 20 minutes, so...
Right. We don't need
I figured to, I just we don't cut need to the chase.
We don't need to list the matches before we talk about the matches.
Well, it kicks off with the 20-man battle royal. Pretty star-studded lineup in there, including the Hart Foundation, the Killer Bees, Bad News Brown, George the Animal Steel, who does not enter the ring.
Nah, not at all. He's not interested.
So Animal Steel takes his shirt off but remains on the outside. This thing gets going and they're battling, man. It's kind of a fun battle royal to watch.
So I wouldn't know, because when I most recently watched it, all I could focus in on was George the Animal Steel, because he was being fucking hilarious. Like one of the bees went over the top and didn't get eliminated, and George was like watching his feet and waved it off like, nope, he's good. He did not eliminate it. Like George was making me laugh the entire time. So I was, instead of watching the actual action in the ring, I was more focused in on George. People would get eliminated. He'd make fun of him. He was getting into the official. The Gorilla said a couple times that he thought he was eliminated. And I was like, fucking Gorilla. No. He didn't get in the fucking ring.
I think that caught Jesse and Gorilla off guard.
Yeah.
Because Gorilla does say, yeah, I think he got tossed over there. You know, Jesse, he doesn't let shit fly.
No, he doesn't. I don't like that about him. How could be eliminated, Gorilla? He was never in the ring.
Yeah, we got King Harley Race in there, JYD, the Bolsheviks. I mean, you said you couldn't really focus much on it besides your, you know, George the Animal Steel.
No, man, like, I was just focused in on George. Like, George trips the anvil, which I thought was hilarious, from the outside for clearly no apparent reason, and then Anvil gets eliminated. George attacks the outlaw Ronnie Bass after Ronnie Bass gets eliminated. No apparent reason. The ref starts telling George, it's almost like he's trying to negotiate with him. Like he's a parent. It's like, you either get in the ring or you get to the back. Right? The ring or the back. And then somewhere along the way, Hillbilly Jim gets eliminated. And it looks like George is going to try and have a chat ski with Hillbilly Jim. And all of a sudden, George is gone. Like, they just tell George to get to the back then. All right, you had your chance. It's either the ring or the back. And you didn't pick the ring, so your ass better go to the back.
Well, that's a pretty hilarious. I mean, if you're not going to win the thing, you might as well be entertaining.
There's got to be a reason he didn't get in the ring. Like, that can't be planned. Here's the list of guys in the Battle Royal. All right, everybody, go out there. Here's the finish. George. Never get in the ring, man. It's like, what, am I not in the Battle Royal? No, you're in the Battle Royal. All right, you're in the Battle Royal. Just never get in the ring. Well, wouldn't that mean I'm not in the Battle Royal?
You know, it kind of reminded me of that Savio Vega spot from a few seasons back.
The I stand here spot?
Yeah.
Oh, because he should have been standing in the ring?
Just kind of negotiating with the official out there.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
It's good to see King Harley Race. He takes probably my favorite bump of the match over the top. Guy's a fucking pro.
Guy is a pro.
Dangerous Danny Davis is out there. As Gorilla tells us, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. The happening, pulling out all the stops, getting down to the nitty gritty. This Gorilla Monsoon commentary is just taking me back, man.
Yeah.
Kenny Patera, he's also in there. He tosses out the Russians. And then Bad News takes him out. Looks like we got Bad News, the Junkyard Dog, and Bret the Hitman Hart are the final three. Get some headbutts by the dog. Crowd's behind him. Then the Hitman and Bad News team up, and they form a bond.
Yeah.
Speaking of forming a bond, like this whole match, I'm kind of glad that Euchre's only there for this one match because I think he might have messed.
He was fucking with the flow.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it was kind of funny listening to him and Jesse go back and forth about who's going to be, you know, going back and forth with Vanna.
It's so fucked up. You can't do that, man. No. You can't be trying to call a battle royal and be like, oh, no, I'm plowing the babe. You go, what are you talking about, Jesse? I know Vanna very well, and I'm going to be plowing the babe.
That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the show, Euchre's trying to find her.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, Euchre. She's going to be in my hotel room. Well, that's fine, Jesse. If I got to go to your hotel room to plow the babe, I'm going to go to your hotel room to plow the babe. Well, you're going to have to get in line. And I'll tell you this. If you're behind me, it's a mighty long line.
Back to the action inside the ring. So Bad News, after they deposit the dog out, you know, it looks like maybe they're going to share the trophy. We know that's not going to happen. Bad News is a Pearl Harbor job onto the Hitman, but that ghetto blaster tosses him out, and Bad News Brown is victorious.
I was okay with Bad News winning. It was kind of silly of them to be like, oh, we'll be co-champions of the Battle Royal. That's not the rules of the Battle Royal. You as a performer cannot change the rules of the Battle Royal while you're in the match. That shit doesn't fly. I kind of like that Bad News won, but I also like that Bret Hart turned, you know, smashed the trophy. But this is not, my timeline could be off. They're still heel team, right? At this point.
I think this might be a part of like a gradual face turn.
Gotcha. They did the gradual. Okay.
I'm not sure if they're still with Jimmy Hart or not, but I imagine whenever like he double crosses them is probably when the deal is sealed. Gotcha. You know?
Yeah. Seal the deal. Like Jesse and Euchre.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Give Vanna the banana.
Well, Bad News gets to celebrate with that big trophy as Gorilla tells us to look at the size of it. And Hitman gets in there. He's pissed off at the double cross. Tosses Bad News out there. Destroys the trophy. And this time, like I mentioned, Euchre goes off looking for Vanna. Jesse says he knows where she's at.
So fucked up.
Off camera, I'll see you later. Yeah. That wasn't a good Jesse the Body. I'll try again later.
I don't have a good Jesse the Body either, but I think that's part of the charm of it.
All right. Well, we hear the Fink explaining the rules of the tournament to crown the new world champion. Man, I love hearing the Fink.
Yeah. Did you need to hear Robin Leach, though?
No.
No, not at all. With champagne riches and caviar dreams, shut up.
It's pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a scroll. He says, whereas a bunch.
Yeah.
Maybe Trump thought it was funny or something.
I don't fucking know.
Robin Leach signs off and says, I'm Robin Leach, and I do know why.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement to make. What do you make of that?
There's so many questions that arise in my mind. It's quite troubling, actually. Because it's quite open-ended, isn't it?
It is.
Saying, I'm Robin Leach and I do know why. Why what? Right? Like, why, you know why peanut butter goes good with jelly? Right? Is that what you know?
Well, he says, I know why, and then he gives the mic back to the Fink.
And I know why. Sometimes a Hummer's better in the morning than in the evening? Right? Like, where are you going
I know,
here?
I know that's right.
Yeah. And I know why. Why sometimes they got to drop it a surprise Luger at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Like, what are you telling me?
I don't know. It's cliffhanger, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I know why.
Maybe we'll see him later on.
I hope we don't.
He'll let us know.
Let's pump the brakes on the Robin Leach experience.
All right, we got our first matchup. The world title tournament. Ted DiBiase is accompanied by Virgil Andre the Giant. Your guy, Andre.
Love Andre, man.
Taking on Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Man, Hacksaw is so fucking over. It's almost depressing. And he doesn't do a fucking thing. I love Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I love him. All he does is yell, ho, put his thumb up, and sometimes he yells USA. That's it. And I fucking love him.
I mentioned this on the preview show, but not everybody has a theme song at this time. There's a couple of wrestling albums that came out, but about half of the theme songs that we remember are not quite in place yet. We don't hear the money, money, money theme. We don't hear that patriotic Duggan theme.
Right.
But it doesn't matter.
No.
With Duggan.
Nope.
You know, he comes out there with his stick and, oh, it's more of a board than a stick. But the crowd goes nuts, man. And DiBiase, I know you picked Andre, but he might be heel of the year.
Well, I just picked Andre as my favorite guy.
Oh, your favorite guy?
Yeah. I love Andre. Do you think if it wasn't for Hogan, yeah, I was going to say, just fucking let me talk, all right? Shut up for a fucking second. Do you think that if say there's no Hogan, right, could Hacksaw have been Hogan?
Oh, man. He would have had to do something about his eyes, I think.
What's wrong with his eyes?
He's cross-eyed.
Not full, not completely.
I mean, I could take the Hulkster serious when he was telling me to train and say my prayers and take my vitamins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you could probably take Hacksaw serious, too.
Have you ever taken Hacksaw serious?
Oh, we're not talking about me.
Did you take him serious in that dying days of WCW when he had
get rid of his
citizenship?
You didn't take shit seriously in the dying days of WCW. You take Hulkster serious with a fucking jean jacket on that says FUNB on the back of it? No. All that was bullshit. I'm talking about the good times of wrestling. I think Hack, you could probably even give Hack Hulkster's moveset. It probably transitions.
Next to Hogan, he's probably got the most charisma on the card here.
Well, there's still Mach.
There's Mach, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's instead of going, ho, with the thumbs up, if he just does the fucking hand of the ear gimmick, right? I think it works.
They could have easily given him Real American.
Yeah. I think Hack could have been Hulk.
Man, what could have been? Well, we're told about the time limits and the rules in this one, 15 minutes. For the first round, I think 20 minutes. And then in the finals, there's got to be a winner. Duggan gets the crowd going. Get a big-time atomic drop from Duggan. sends the millionaire over the top rope. This guy sells like it's a treat watching him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Duggan connects with a 10 count, and then Andre distracts the ref. Ted goes to town, hits a nice double axe. And then I didn't see this coming. This is a youthful hacksaw, though. A sunset flip out of Hacksaw Duggan.
Yeah. He could sunset flip.
I'm impressed.
He didn't impress you before?
I've never seen him pull off a sunset flip.
Oh, he's done it plenty of times.
Sure about that?
Yeah. I think his nickname when he was a kid was Sunset Duggan.
Before he got into wood?
Yeah, before he got into the wood, he was old Sunset Duggan.
But yeah, DiBiase makes Duggan look great. He looks like he's going for that that stance, that three-point stance, and then Andre grabs his leg and nails him right in front of the official.
That was the problem I had with that, yeah.
That could have been done better, because that's a disqualification.
Yes. Yeah, he like grabs Hack. Then Hack turns around to deal with Andre, which don't turn around to deal with Andre. Just don't. It doesn't work out for anybody. Hack turns around to deal with Andre. Andre clobbers him. And the ref, like you said, is staring right at it. Doesn't say DQ, doesn't say anything, just stares right at it. And DiBiase gets the win. Like, what? No. Then I thought about it. Perhaps that official's on the payroll.
It is a $1 million man match.
Yeah. That was the only,
everybody's got a price.
They didn't say anything, and I think maybe I was just trying really hard to make sense of it in my head. So the conclusion that I came to is that official is clearly on Mr. DiBiase's payroll. That's why he watched Andre clobber Duggan and still counted the three.
It makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
So DiBiase advances, then Duggan grabs the wood and the heels head to the back. Oh, get sent back to Mean Gene with Bruce the Barber Beefcake.
What a package. You know, and I know it's just my mind still, for some reason, still being like 14 years old. But as soon as like Gene looks at Beefer, like looks him up and down, and then he goes, "What a package." And I'm like, "Gene, you old horn dog, you." He's taking on all comers.
I mean, he's got the mic in the one hand up to his mouth, and when he's talking about the package, he is pointing at.
He is pointing at the package, yeah.
The package, yeah.
Yeah. Yikers.
Very funny. Man, we got the Fink, we got Gorilla, Jesse, Mean Gene. Just makes me feel good having these guys back. So Beefer's taking on Honky Tonk for that IC title later. Bruce plays with his clippers and fantasizes about chopping off Jimmy Hart's locks. What do you think of this look with the bow tie with no shirt?
Strange. Very weird look. I think it's like a stripper getup.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's what he was originally. Was
when Valiant was to be when Valiant was his manager?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Johnny V was pimping him out.
Yeah. Hey, Beefer, go over there and give her the hot beef injection. Bring me back 70%.
Yeah, the bow tie, that's all that really stuck out about this promo, that and Gene looking at his package.
Yeah, he's got intensity, but his promos, for whatever reason, just fall flat for me.
Next up, we got match two in the first round. The Rock, Don Morocco, accompanied by superstar Billy Graham, is taking on Dino Bravo, accompanied by Frenchie Martin. Do you think they had second thoughts before giving The Rock that we know The Rock?
No, I don't think it was even on their radar. I mean, I think Morocco was probably a megastar in his time, but his time was before WrestleMania 4.
That's true. He is kind of on the back half here.
Yeah. So you wait, 20 years after a guy is past his prime, I think you're okay to use The Rock. And I don't think Don Morocco called himself The Rock, whereas The Rock just referred to himself in third person as The Rock. And his name
that's true.
His name was Rocky Maivia before transitioning into The Rock, whereas Don Morocco was just, The Rock Morocco.
That's a good call.
It's kind of a weird way to go, isn't it? I'm The Rock Morocco. Wouldn't you be Maraca Maracas?
The Rock Don Morocco kind of has a ring to it.
It does have a, it's got that weird ring though. Like where
it's like Flyboy Rocco Rock.
That's a little bit different. The Rock Morocco. Like it's weird. It's, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. But if you think about it for a little bit, it is kind of strange. I am the Rock Morocco. It's like somebody being like Dwayne Wayne, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I see where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
So Superstar of the Rock come out there with the tie-dye shirts. Gorilla tells us to take a look at the power pack. I'm not sure what I'm looking at, but he's getting me amped, man.
The tie-dye.
Was that what the power pack is?
I think they love the tie-dye. Yeah, Jesse was a big tie-dye guy. I think Jesse was obviously a big Superstar Billy Graham guy. There's a lot of tie-dye.
Yeah. Jesse kind of jokes about the Superstar stealing his gimmick when, you know, in reality, he stole the Superstar's gimmick, as did the Hulkster.
Right.
So, Hulkster basically a babyface version of the Superstar. A couple of big brick shithouse guys here, man. A couple of strong dudes.
I like Dino. Is Dino short for something? Do you know that answer? Or is if you're named Dino, are you just Dino?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, neither am I. I don't know what it could even be short for.
Maybe do a deep dive. I know we lose Bravo, but not during this season, so a little time to figure it out.
So, are you well-versed in the workings of Don Morocco or no? A
little bit.
Okay. He throws a move in this match that throws me off just a little bit. And I don't remember it, seeing him do it at other times, but this just could be my memory not being all there. He's in the corner and he does like a almost like a Vader bomb elbow.
It looks bad.
It's poorly executed. But then I was thinking, man, is he starting like the Flippy Guy Revolution right now? Because it was a weird thing for him to do. He's a power guy.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to do this weird, like, Vader bomb style elbow, and I'm calling it that because I don't know what else, like, where else you would even compare it to. It's very strange. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, it looked like he slipped off the rope.
Yeah. It was rough.
It was pretty sloppy, Joe. Before that, he had a stinger splash, which works because he's a big guy.
Yeah, it's fine.
But, I mean, that Vader bomb... But that's what that reminded me of. I just put, why is The Rock doing a Vader bomb here?
You know, yeah, it's like a Vader bomb elbow like type shit. Thing. And I did like when he gets hung in the ropes. That spot for me, yeah. I always get a kick out of that spot. You know, no matter what, it always looks brutal, too. And it probably is far more dangerous than it appears.
Oh, yeah, that's the spot that took out Cactus's ear.
Yeah, his ear. So it was a fun little... I don't know, it was a fun little match. I didn't mind it at all. I think I probably would have rather have seen Dino win. The pile driver he delivers is badass. And then the finish wasn't very... The finish really didn't make me hard either.
Is this the same official as the first match?
No, it's not. This is a younger guy.
Okay. I'm still loving the card, man. We got two singles matches with two shit finishes so far, though.
Yes, they are. They are shit finishes. So what I do like about it is that the referee disqualified the right person.
Yeah, we should probably tell the listeners what happened here.
Oh, first. Good idea. Yeah, good idea.
Just skipped over that.
Yeah, good point. Go ahead.
So Morocco delivers some punishment. And then, I think, doesn't Bravo move the referee in front of him?
Yeah, Morocco goes for like a flying forearm type of a move, and Dino Bravo pulls the official in front of him.
Yeah, then Bravo hits the side suplex, thinks he's got the win. The bell rings, but no. He's been disqualified. So yeah, that was enforcing the rules. So,
yes.
So you're right.
Which
yeah.
I like. There was a lot of confusion, it seemed like, at the end of the match. From the fan standpoint, and even like watching it, knowing like I've seen it countless times before, I couldn't figure out like what the motivation to finish the match that way was. I still don't know. I never will know. But then the other thing I thought about is like some of these people in the crowd are not like are very, very casual fans or less than casual fans because maybe they got tickets comped by the casino. You know what I mean? Like things like that. So it's like if you have that many people in your audience that are very casual fans, you can't give them weird finishes and try and expect them to understand or try and hash it out. Like it has to be very straightforward for the fans to really understand what's going on if they're less than casual fans. So that part kind of stuck in my ass, but yeah, moving on.
Yeah, good call because there's no consistency with the first two matches.
Right. Right.
And I'd asked if it was the same official because I think this is the only time that we see that guy from the first match. And I got some more complaints about this guy as we go along. So
good.
So The Rock advances, wins a win. We're set to the back with Euchre. He's still after Vanna. And we get Jimmy Hart and the Honky Tonk Man. They come in there, head of the IC title match. And Honky Tonk doesn't care if he has to backstroke up the Mississippi, he says. He's trying to channel the Hulkster a little bit.
Maybe. Or maybe the Hulkster was channeling the Honky.
That could be.
Yeah.
I think they were buddies.
I don't know if they're buddies or not, but...
Oh, regardless. Yeah. They both like to swim.
Yeah, they're swimmers. Swim team captains, probably.
And then Jimmy Hart accompanies Greg Valentine down there, so he's working hard tonight.
A busy guy. All these managers are busy, man. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, this is a golden age of many things.
Yes.
Characters, managers, just... I mean, the production value has obviously gotten better with time, but as far as the production personnel... We're in a good spot.
Yeah, very, very good spot.
So Greg the Hammer Valentine with the Mouth of the South has taken on Ricky Steamboat. And is it Take Your Kid to Work Day or what's going
That's
on
That's the
here?
Fucking thing. Like, I'm looking at this and he comes walking down with his kids like, keep the fucking kid at home, man. You can't afford a babysitter, Ricky? What are you doing?
We're talking like a kid who can't even walk yet.
I know.
Like
I watched
a toddler.
It. Yeah. Can't even walk. He's fucking trouting his kid down. Trouting? Trouncing? Trotting? Trotting. He's trotting his kid. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. He's trotting his fucking kid down there. Kid don't belong in the wrestling ring.
No, he wouldn't provide any sort of reinforcement.
No, you know what would have been funny, though? Just throwing this out there, right? He comes down, he's got his kid in the ring, right? Dumbass, don't bring your kid in the ring. Fucking, what if Greg the Hammer came up and, you know, elbow dropped the baby?
Oh, man.
He would have been the most fucking hated heel just ever. I'm sure you could do it in a manner that's safe, right? You don't actually have to kill the baby. But sometimes the name of heat, sometimes babies got to go away. So I couldn't believe that. Like, obviously, I've seen it before. He's got his little gi on that says Little Dragon. Yeah, I fucking would have loved to see Greg the Hammer just drop the hammer on the baby.
Or maybe Jimmy Hart goes up to him and yells at him with the megaphone.
Yeah, like something, right?
Harasses him. That'd
yeah.
Be, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, because like they...
It's got no value after the intro is what you're saying.
Right, and it's probably in poor taste, right? Like you're probably making bad headlines the following day, like... Greg the Hammer puts infant in fucking figure four leg lock. But the kids are resilient, man. They'll bounce back.
That's true.
Yeah. Like if they would have gotten the ring and Jimmy would have handed Greg the megaphone and Greg knocks out Ricky cold, lays the baby down on the mat. Doesn't have to do anything crazy, right? Elbow drop. Maybe you drop the knee across the baby's head. Like something like that, right? And to me, I wouldn't even blame
opportunity.
I wouldn't even blame Gregory at all. Right? You're bringing things down to the ring that shouldn't be down to the ring, right?
You're not going to blame Greg for beating up the toddler?
No, it doesn't belong in the ring.
So you're saying if it crawled in the ring or something?
Got to stay out of the ring, kid.
Okay.
It would have, we don't would have been even better. They would have brought Dr. Death. Dr. Death after smacking that late night host, whatever the fuck his name was. They bring Dr. Death back to David Schultz. Yeah, they bring him back for the tournament. He faces Ricky, and Dr. Death slaps the shit out of the baby.
It's brilliant because he was already blacklisted, you know, just bring back for that one spot.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. Well, this looks like a good matchup. I mean, toddlers and colonels aside, a couple of former IC champs. The steamer gets deep underneath the hammer. For those patented arm drags.
Yeah, Gorilla calls him the excellence of execution.
Oh, yeah.
I think he threw that around
as like, you know, thing for technical guys he liked.
Okay.
And with the Hitman, it probably just stuck.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because I don't think that steamer was around for too much longer.
No, because of his fucking wife.
Oh, right, the wife.
Yeah, she's a pain in the balls.
Well, there's a sloppy exchange, and the steamer locks in a wrist lock. You got classic wrestling holds here, man. This is what you were pining for last season.
Yeah, I love it.
You get some elbows out of the hammer, some knife edges, and a devastating breadbasket buster out of the hammer. And then he gives him a headbutt downstairs. Oh, yeah. Goes for that figure four, gets denied. We get a chopping match between the steamer and the hammer. And then we get the classic thumb to the eye from the steamer. And a pretty badass looking shoulder breaker.
Yeah, he's
out of Valentine.
Not a bad one.
Valentine is kind of an underrated guy. He's pretty good in there.
He's like an old reliable vehicle, right? It's not the prettiest, right? It's not going to go fastest, but it'll get you there. You trust it.
Yeah, and he gives you those funny spots with the flops as well. So Steamboat goes upstairs and hits a chop. Gets a two before ramming the hammer's head into the turnbuckle. He goes for a high cross body. The Valentine rolls over into a pin combo. Gets a handful of tights and wins.
Yeah, the only thing that I didn't quite understand is at one point, Steamer fucking tosses the official.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes no sense for him to do that. Like, he is as babyface as a babyface could ever be. And his wife and kid are sitting at ringside. Who are you fucking teaching the kid to toss the, like, you know, you'd respect authority, right? That's what you should be teaching them, not toss the official.
Well, I don't think the kid is, like, making long-term memories yet.
Well, not after Greg gets a hold of him.
Oh. That's true. Might not be making any memories at all.
Smash the baby!
So you get sent to the back with the British Bulldogs, Coco Beware, and Matilda, who was dog-napped recently, and returned to the Bulldogs. So apparently she's been in, we're talking Matilda the dog here, she's been in extensive training and is a weasel dog.
Yeah.
Coco says he smells a weasel, and then the Birdman kisses Matilda, and that's that, man.
Yeah, Dynamite is no good on the mic.
No.
No good. I don't think that Bulldog is quite there yet. I mean, he's not very good either. But the thing that pissed me off is that Coco B, fantastic, right? Brings the energy, eloquent, right? He's hitting his marks. And when Coco B is doing his part of the fucking promo, the camera just zooms in on Matilda. Give Coco B his just desserts. Coco B has never really gotten his just desserts, and I'm kind of tired of it.
Yeah, what was that move of his that always got you going?
Coco B does one of the greatest brain busters you'll ever see. He's also got a very clean top rope drop kick.
Huh. Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to see some of that.
I hope we do.
I think that's in the back half of the show, so you have to tune in next time. But for now, we got the Macho Man Randy Savage, accompanied by Miss Elizabeth. They get on the Natural Butch Reed with the Slickster. So Slickster's out there. He's doing his Jive Soul bro bit, getting some booze. Savage and Elizabeth are out there in the sparkly blue. And Body gets that gorilla early on for ogling over Liz and says he's not as bad as McMahon. One of my favorite things about Jesse's commentary job in this show, and probably from here on out, unless Vince had a talking to him, is he really takes the piss out of Vince.
Yeah.
I imagine, Vince has a sense of humor. I imagine he took it in stride. But, I mean, there's some truth to it.
Well, yeah, we know that now.
So, Natural gets the advantage early on.
What the fuck was that? So, you fucking calling some hogs to come home? So,
just finding my spot, man.
Okay, you find your spot.
So the Natural gets the advantage early on. It's a big suplex and an elbow drop. Savage gets knocked to the outside. The Natural does a number on him.
What number? Two?
Well, a fist blow.
Oh, fist blow.
So the fist blow from the top is real cheap at this time.
Yeah.
Natural goes up top for another one. Takes a little too long, gets slammed down. Mach hits that big elbow, and that's it for the Natural. So the crowd goes wild, and the Body gives Liz credit for showing Reed a little leg by the distraction.
That's all she's got. She's short.
So the Mach, he's one of the guys who does have entrance music, the pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Yeah, good song. Good song.
Yeah. He gets sent back to the Bob Uecker's, again, talking about his pursuit to Vanna. And then Bobby the Brain slides in there with the Island Boys.
With the Island Boys.
Maybe in six-man action against the Bulldogs and the Birdman. So Uke says they should be prosecuted for stealing Matilda. The Brain isn't taking Uke's shit, tells him what it's like. Uecker does talk a lot of shit.
He's a shit-talking guy, yeah.
But he might be onto something here. You can't steal somebody's dog.
You can't. I mean, you're right. You can't steal a dog. You probably just got to return it. I don't know if there's like a real process. Maybe if it's a show dog, right? Maybe then you get in real trouble.
She's a professional wrestler dog.
Well, it's a weasel right? dog is what they said.
Well, we're watching a show, so I'm saying maybe it's a show dog.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm not certain. I don't know what the laws as far as like dog napping goes. Maybe they're just borrowing her.
It's for some companionship?
I don't know. Maybe there's like a problem on the island. They needed a bulldog to help.
All right.
Maybe they needed the bulldog to fend off some, I don't know, what's on an island? Hogs? Coyotes? Fish?
Well, fish, for sure.
Yeah, so maybe they were having a problem in the waters.
Killer fish.
Yeah. So they needed a bulldog to, fend him off. It doesn't hold up. Like, that doesn't stand to reason, but I'm okay with that. It's probably what they needed.
Man, always great seeing Bobby. We're going to be seeing a whole lot of him. Like you mentioned, he and the rest of the managers are really earning their paychecks here. Next up, we got the one-man gang with the Slickster taking on Bam Bam Bigelow with Oliver Humperdinck. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
The Slickster just stayed out there?
No, he probably walked all the way to the back and turned around.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, well, the manager has to be part of the wrestler's entrance. That's a key component.
Yeah, you're right.
Did you... The part of this match that bothered me, and I like One Man Gang, but he fucking like woofs at all of his strikes. And when he's getting struck. I almost said stroked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that bothered you, huh?
Yeah. Like, you remember when Luger, when he was taking a punch, he'd always make like a almost like a video game type. Oh, oh,
oh. Sure did.
Yeah. Well, Gang, he'll throw a punch and go, oof, oof. It's like, what are you woofing for? You're a Gang. You're not a dog. You're a man.
When I was looking at the lineup here, I think this was the most intriguing of the first round matches for me. But do these guys, was it just a bad day or bad matchup for these guys, or is it because they're a couple super heavyweights?
I don't think it's because they're a couple super heavyweights. I really don't. I mean, Bammer is still pretty young in his career here. So he's green as they get. Gang, you know, Gang can work a match, but he's got a certain style that he works. And Bam, especially for his size, he was kind of a new commodity, right? You didn't see guys his size moving the way he did. So I don't know if a lot of people were really overly familiar with how to work with a guy like that, especially at this time. So this is the way that he moved in the ring. You don't expect it. He's a little bit different. There wasn't a lot that I loved about this match. Like, Bam does like a cartwheel and then a really, really strange jumping splash that just looked fucked up.
Awkward looking splash for sure.
And then fucking Slickster pulls the old ropes down and Bam spills to the out. And that's the fucking, like, that's how they end the match. Like, that, they could have done it many better ways.
Like, they ended up, I agree.
Ended up being a double count out, and like, I didn't even feel like I fucking realized what the fuck was going on.
Well, let me just take us back here a second, all right?
Yeah, well, do whatever you need to do.
So, Bam Bam Bigelow, he's the hometown boy here. They could have given the hometown boy a win. Come on.
I was gonna say, what, do you want to put the fucking belt on him?
Well, he was an ECW champ, right?
Yeah, many years later.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He's getting a pretty big push. He was on the Hulkster's team, that Survivor Series. So his manager, the Humperdinck, this is going to be the only time we see him on this show. So I got to give us some fun facts here, man.
Yeah, all right.
So Humperdinck, he's a Minnesota guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where from? What parts?
Twin Cities.
God, that's such a cop-out.
That's where most of us live, man.
No, I've never lived there.
Most Minnesotans live in the Twin Cities area.
Just because it's the most fucking populous area doesn't mean most of us live there.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
By definition, though, there are more people where there are more people. What are you trying to say here?
I'm saying I think there's probably more people that live outside of the Twin Cities than inside the Twin Cities.
We'll have to do a deep dive.
You just fucking say Twin Cities. What are you? He's probably from someplace like Lake Elmo. Is he from Lake Elmo?
I don't know, but maybe we can check it out here, because he passed away about 10 years ago. So Oliver Humperdinck, first moment of silence of the year.
Yeah, humping and pumping, moment of silence. Humperdinck. I mean, I know I said it on the preview show, but he doesn't look like the kind of guy that's going to clean up with all the gals. Yet he cleaned up with all the gals.
Yeah, not the most beautiful man, that's for sure.
No,
Bam Bam is actually the only guy that he manages in the Federation. But back in Mid South, he actually managed the Wild Samoans, and he was called the Big Kahuna.
That's awesome.
It's a nice touch. And he was called Big Daddy Dink in WCW. You like Oliver Humperdinck or Big Daddy Dink?
I don't know. I think there's definitely some charm to both of them. Is his birth name Oliver Humperdinck?
It is John J. Sutton.
Oh, man, that's a good name, too.
And he was born and he died in Minneapolis.
Born and died in Minneapolis.
Yes, sir.
That's a circle of life for you.
But back to the match here.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Do you got something?
No, I'm just thinking, man. John J. Sutton or Oliver Humperdinck?
You think you go double J. Sutton?
No. No, I think you go John J. You could even be John J. Humperdinck.
Oh, man.
Like the Oliver, I think, is the part that throws me off.
Isn't Oliver like an Irish name or something like that?
I have no fucking idea. Maybe.
Like he's fashioned to look like this leprechaun. So
I think that his body is fashioned to make him look like a leprechaun.
So I mentioned the official in the first match. Oh, he totally fucked that up. The same official is in this second match.
Yeah.
And he counts Bam Bam Bigelow out.
Mm-hmm.
And Bam Bam Bigelow is clearly trying to get back in the ring. He's on the apron when he makes it to the tent.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is terrible.
He sucks. Yeah. He sucks.
He's 0 for 2.
Yep.
Like I said, this is probably the last time we'll see him. I'm going to complain about him some more as we go along.
All right. That's fine.
Two matches, two complaints. So the one-man gang advances. We go to Mean Gene in the back. He's got the Hulkster for an all-timer of a promo.
Is it?
It's memorable, man.
Okay. You go ahead. You tell the listeners how much you love this promo, and I'll explain to you why it's fucked up.
After recapping the past year and his feud with Andre and all the controversy, he talks about slamming Andre through the plaza, the fault line breaking off, causing his opponents and everybody in the plaza to sink into the ocean. And then the Hulkster throwing Donald Trump and all the Hulkamaniacs on his back and backstroking everybody to safety. It's a quick synopsis. This is one of the ones that I remember, man.
Which is fine. I remember it too. He's not going to be saving anybody.
What are you talking about?
He's going to drown all the fucking Hulkamaniacs. You can't put everybody on your back and then do a backstroke.
That's fair.
Everybody on your back is going to be underwater.
Maybe Hulkster is a real fast swimmer, right?
He's not. And that
he gets
fast.
He gets him to safety before they drown.
No way, man! How long can you hold your breath?
A couple minutes.
A couple minutes?
Hell
bullshit!
Yeah. You want to have a contest now, live on the air?
No, we're not going to have a fucking contest live on the air. I'm just telling you right now, a couple minutes is outrageous. I don't think there's any way that you're holding your breath for a couple minutes.
What do you think? Where do you think you're at there? Mr. Healthy Lungs?
I don't know, Mr. Dipshit. I'm not trying to hold my fucking breath. I'm just trying to explain to you, one, you're not holding your breath for a couple of minutes. And two, he's drowning all of his Hulkamaniacs. Memorable? Sure. But don't put him on your back and then backstroke. You can put him on your, put him on your chest. Have everybody grab your crank. I don't give a shit. They can't be on your back if you're backstroking. You're drowning them all.
That's fair.
All right, now hold your breath till you pass out, you douche.
You want to take it from here?
No, I don't want to take it from here. You take it from there.
Next up, I think this is the last match of the first round here. We got Jake the Snake Roberts taking on Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Ravishing Rick, he was your one of your guys you're looking forward to this year.
I love Ravishing Ricky Rude.
He gets on the mic when he comes out there. Well, he talks about the gamble that all those sweat hogs are taking by letting their women come and look at his ravishing body.
I thought the women were the sweat hogs. The men are taking the gamble by letting those ladies look at them.
Right, right.
Yeah, something like that.
I think he calls, regardless of who he's talking to, I think he calls them sweat hogs.
Oh.
I hope this isn't the last we're going to hear from Ravishing Rick.
Well, I'm sure it's not. All the sweat hogs.
This has to be kind of the beginning of the feud where Jake's wife's face ends up on Ravishing Rick's junk.
Yeah. Power move. Love it.
So we get a DDT chant. This is a good matchup.
You know, I liked, especially in the stage of the match, there's a part where Jake won't let go of the wrist. And he just keeps on like working the arm and he just won't let go of the wrist. It was pretty awesome. Very simple, but very entertaining.
Yeah, we get arm locks, wrist locks, arm bars. Loads of rest holds in this one. Rude sells like a champion, so it is enjoyable.
Yeah.
So he takes the Ravishing one down with an arm bar. And then Jake, in an uncharacteristic move, he hits a knee from the second rope. He goes for the DDT, but Rude hits the deck. We get that crisscross exchange that ends with a slam by the Snake. Goes for that knee lift and misses. And Ricky Rude gets on the offense. It's a stiff clothesline. Oh, yeah. And then he does some of them patented hip gyrations.
He puts him in a chin lock. And while he's in the chin lock, it looks like he's starting to hump the fucking mat. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man. He
can't help himself, man.
Ricky Rude, settle down, brother. Like, he's got him in the chin lock. Making love to the wrestling mat is not going to help you here. Wait, maybe it does. Let me ask you this. I put you in a chin lock, right? While you're in a chin lock, I start boning the mat. Do you give up just to get out of there? Or do you, there's no way you're giving up and you're now part of this weird three-way that I'm having with you and an inanimate object?
So am I giving up because of the pain or because of the...
Because I'm fucking...
Because of the situation.
Yeah, fucking the ring over here. And I'm not letting you go anywhere. You're just going to watch it.
If we're in a title tournament, I'm not giving up.
You're not giving up, even if I fuck the ring to completion.
No, man, because once you're done, I'll roll you over and get the pin.
Nah, man, not at all. Once I'm done, I'm more relaxed, right?
That's when I get my offense in, man.
Yeah, well...
You let your guard down after you're done.
I'm not letting my guard down. You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm going to fucking take your face and jam it in the guck I just left on the mat. Should have given up.
I think there's actually some... There's something to that, right? If you got somebody in a headlock and you're...
So you're saying if everybody...
You're like locking them in tighter when you're humping, right?
Or is something. That how it works?
I don't know. Jesse the Body sold me on that, like, being a little more devastating, so I'm going to take his word for it.
All right.
So I got to ask you here. This is Rest Hold City, right?
Yeah.
Do you really like this match, or is it too much?
I really like this match. Like there is
it's because of the guys in there, obviously.
Yeah, there is probably a little bit more Rest Hold than what you know you would like, but we're at this point we're kind of fashioned not to love the Rest Hold. I still love the Rest Hold. It's an enjoyable match. The only thing that I really didn't like is the finish.
Yeah, I'll cut to the chase here. I mean, after ravishing Ricky, what's he got, a sleeper hold locked in? Chin lock of some sort.
Yeah, chin lock.
And his hand falls twice, and then he makes the comeback. They end up battling. They sense a DDT. I don't think we get a DDT, though.
No.
Basically, they run out of time. Rude goes for a pin in the corner with his feet on the ropes, but the time runs out. It's a draw.
Well, they don't say that, though. That's the part that pissed me off. They don't say, the announcer does not say they've reached time limit draw. They go through this whole thing, and then the ref throws his hands up, calls the match off. Fink just gets on the mic and says he has declared this match a draw, but not because of time limit. They don't specify that on the announcement, and that pissed me off. Couple of reasons. One, announce it. And secondly, like I said before, if you have an arena with, you know, even if it's half casual or less than casual fans, and they're watching and you just say it's a draw, they have nothing to go off of. You have to say,
right,
if it's a time limit draw, you have to announce this match was a time limit draw. Or even if you're like, that's what you're going to do, like, you know that that's your finish. When you get to 5 minutes, get on the mic. There's 5 minutes remaining on this match, right? There's 1 minute left in this match. There's 5 seconds left in this match.
The place has a clock.
Right. 3, 2, 1, boom, time limit draw. But the way it was executed fucking sucked.
We got the benefit of watching the thing, and Jesse and Gorilla are pros. They, you know, they tell us, oh, it's got to be getting close to the time limit. So far, the worst part of this show is the officiating.
Yeah, I'm behind that.
Yeah, and this show actually does get a lot of flack, but I think the officiating, we'll see how it goes here for the rest of the show, but I think the officiating might be what kind of an underrated source of...
An underrated stain?
Discontent. Yeah. There we go, yeah. Well, neither of them advance, so Snake, he gets Damien out of the bag and scares off the heels. So the one-man gang's going to get a bye.
Good for him.
Mean Gene's in the back with Vanna and the Bracket. She's having a great time back there, she says. Looking good in that leopard dress, oh yeah.
You son of a bitch. That's Euchre's gal, right? That's Jesse the Body's gal.
Well, Jesse's got his zebra gear. You think they got some Wild Animal Kingdom action happening?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Shit, yeah, I bet they do. But wait, leopards and zebras, they don't necessarily, intermingle, do they?
I bet they could.
They could, yeah.
It's probably frowned upon in the kings.
Right. But if you think about it, it's probably not the zebra walking up to the leopard going, hey, check this out. Do you like my hooves?
Fucking leopard.
My fucking leopard.
Savannah, she says she likes the Hulk because he's so nice.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like the Million Dollar Man's tactics.
No.
But she likes having Macho having a woman person behind her. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You like having a woman person behind you?
Yeah, oh, why don't you? Oh, yeah. We get two of them behind you. Oh, yeah. She is so out of her fucking element, man. It's, I don't know what they expected, I guess.
Their job isn't to talk.
There's no reason for her to be there. Right. I like her just fine. Right. I don't mind Vanna. There's no reason, this is not me hating Vanna at all. There's no fucking reason for her to be there. If after each match they had like this board where she walked to the fucking name and advanced the name or whatever, like that's fine. But don't interview. There's no reason for her to be there.
Just the nature of the beast with the WrestleMania. They got to get all the celebrities they can, I guess. Well, we're done with the first round, man. So you got the gang advancing. We got Savage advancing. We got DiBiase. I think that's it, actually. So we got a couple of buys coming up.
Yeah.
Next up, we got just a standalone match between the Ultimate Warrior and Hercules with Bobby the Brain.
Fucking
Warrior's got a wacky headband, man.
I fucking hate this.
Warrior's pay-per-view debut, man.
I got some issues. I got some real issues with the Ultimate Warrior.
Better not be with this classic intro tune, because that thing wails.
No, that's a fucking weeping gravedigger. I mean, no problems with that intro song. Problem is, like, neither one of these guys are, like, super known for their selling ability. Warrior doesn't sell a fucking thing. Warrior's just... He was never a super good professional wrestler. Ever. And the more you watch of him, like, you can get behind, like, the ultimate, like, the spirit of the Ultimate Warrior, right? You can get behind all that bullshit, right? Larger than life character, all those things. But if you stripped him down, he would never make it. Because he sucks, right? Let me take that back. He's not a good in-ring performer. Right. You can make the case that he's not good. He's not. You can make the case he's not good out of the ring either, because his shit never made sense. There's something else at play here. You think the Illuminati pushed him?
Okay, what's the best part of the Warriors deal?
His entrance song.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody
gets up for the entrance.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he typically, you know, with the exception of maybe like five matches in his career, they were squashes, you know. He had a couple of good ones with...
Probably with guys that were much better professional wrestlers.
Savage and Hogan.
Yeah. And it's fine. I just don't really... Like, I don't want to hate the Ultimate Warrior. But I get the feeling like he's going to bother me throughout this entire run of episodes. This match specifically, he bugged the fuck out of me. No selling, shaking his head all around. This match wasn't good. I didn't even like the finish of this match.
So I think that they're trying, because there's no way that Warrior came up with that. I think that they're trying to give him a little something, because he won with the same move that Hitman Hart beat Steve Austin with Survivor Series 96, if that's totally obscure. Instead of a million-dollar dream, Herc had him in the full Nelson, and then he does the propel him off the ropes. It looks really shitty because the Warrior's doing it.
It was a German, man.
He didn't get him in a German.
It was a German.
No, Herc has him in the full Nelson, trying to get the fucking fingers locked. And then the Warrior does the deal where propels himself backwards off of the top rope. When Hart did it, it looked good.
Well, yeah, when Hart does it, everything looks good. I wrote down weird German. Warrior shoulder up. This sucks. The only fun I had in this match was when Warrior took the chain and he starts swinging it around like an idiot, and he gets what he deserves. Because when he swings the fucking chain onto the mat, it bounces up and it hits him in the fucking face. And I laughed my fucking ass off. That's what you get, dipshit. You fucking swinging a chain? All it takes is like, oops, didn't have it. And it's gone, right? It's in the front row. You just killed child. You just killed Ricky Steamboat's kid.
Could have taken out the 45th president.
Could have, man. I give a shit less about that.
The course of history, man.
Yeah, well.
Well, he was in the front row is what I'm saying.
Nuts to him. But when he gets hit by the fucking, like when he gets hit in the face by the chain, I laugh so goddamn hard. Because that stopped. Like he didn't swing it again after that. Good. Fuck him.
Speaking of the front row here before we move on. So Trump's in the front row. Did you notice that throughout the show, or did he's on the hard cam right there?
Yeah.
Or did he just blend in with everybody?
Pretty much just blended in.
It wasn't a distraction for me. I just looked over and noticed him, you know,
yeah,
several times. But
not a distraction at all. Just, you know, stay there and shut up.
He's the first former head of the land here to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, so we're happy for him.
Yeah, we're all real proud of him.
Next up, we see the middleweight champion of the world, Sugar Ray Leonard, in the crowd. We get a video package, the feud between Andre and the Hulkster. So this is kind of our main event here of episode 1/tape 1 of Mania 4. It's going to be the big rematch from WrestleMania 3 back at the Pontiac Silverdome where Hulkster slammed Andre, and then they had rematch on the main event. Andre wins the title, sells it to DiBiase. That's why we're having this whole tournament thing. So they both get a bye.
Yeah, buy him.
They should have given the Giants music, man.
He doesn't need it.
You don't think it would have enhanced him a little bit?
None.
You think as a bad guy, like, it's all right just to get the booze? I suppose.
Andre the Giant's like nothing anybody has ever seen before. He needs no fucking music. He needs nothing special. He walks out there, he's got everybody's attention.
Yeah, that's true. You think it's... That's probably the thought process.
I think that
it wasn't required.
No, I don't think that there's any, like, there's no music that you could have put to Andre that would have enhanced his entrance at all. I mean, look at the guy. He's the 8th wonder of the world. Grand Canyon doesn't have its own theme song. You don't drive up to the Grand Canyon bopping around like, oh, this is a classic tune. No, it's a fucking spectacle.
He's billed at 525 here, and Jesse asked Gorilla what his highest build weight was, and he said 440. He says he must have been on the seafood diet. Eat everything you see.
Yeah.
Kind of a cheap little joke there.
I think that joke was probably cutting edge back then.
We hear Real American and the Hulkster's out there. This woke the crowd up. Kind of weird seeing the Hulkster in this era without the title.
A little bit.
He held that thing for 1,474 days.
It's not 2,135, is it?
Oh, man, so Backlund had it about 2 more years than Hulkster, huh?
Bet your baby balls he did.
Who'd Backlund defeat for the title?
Doesn't fucking matter who he defeated.
You should know this, man.
I don't fucking remember.
You call yourself a Backlund fan? Come on.
I'm calling you a schmuck right now, all right? Sometimes I don't remember.
Do some homework, man. Jeez.
Don't you homework my butt.
I'm not going to do that. All right, this I wouldn't call this a good match. I mean,
no.
I know you're in love with Andre the Giant.
I love him.
He can't do much, man.
I know. He can't do much right now. He really can't. He's doing as much as he can. He was in rough shape at WrestleMania 3. There's not much he could have done at WrestleMania 3. You don't expect a lot when you see, you know, these two come out for this match. And it was kind of disappointing on both ends. I don't think Hulkster had a good outing. Like I say, Andre didn't have a good outing. It was kind of what it was, what it needed to be, I guess. I mean, you can't have this giant world title tournament and not have Andre and Hulkster in it. they have to be part of it, obviously. But yeah, this match was not, this wasn't great.
Sanjay gets tied up in the ropes early on, one of his signature spots. Hulkster tears off his shirt. The crowd goes wild. And Andre, he gets untangled, gets knocked down after a few blows. But Andre gets some shots in. He chokes the Hulkster, sits on him. That's about all he gets in, really.
Yeah.
But Hulkster makes a comeback, clotheslines Andre into the corner. Wants to go for a slam. And then DiBiase gets there and nails Hogan with a chair. Ref doesn't see it, though. Then Hogan grabs the chair and nails Andre.
Ref saw that.
Yeah, what do you think here?
You can throw it out.
You think they made the right call throwing the whole thing out?
No. No, I think Hogan should have been DQ'd.
Because the ref saw that one?
Ref saw that one, yeah. You have to call what you see.
So they end up fighting over the chair. Andre eventually connects with the chair shot, which the ref saw, but still, it wasn't the first one the ref saw. Ends in a double DQ. So neither of these guys will advance. And Hogan suplexes Virgil on the entryway, gets in there and slams the giant. You get the music and the pose to close. So fittingly, this is where cassette number one ends. Gorilla stroking the Hulkster's charisma. Well, Jesse reminds us that he's not the champion. He's been eliminated from the tournament. He's kind of acting a fool out there.
One thing that I loved about this match is that when Hogan is dropping those, like he drops, like he goes for a series of elbows, like just standing elbow drops. And at a certain point, it just seemed like Andre was done with it. So he drops the, Hogan drops the first elbow, drops the second elbow. I think he might even drop the third elbow, but he will go to the next one. Andre just fucking grabs him by the neck. It's just like, it's just so cool. I could, the guy is that big that he's like, no, I don't want you doing that anymore. Stop it. You're not going to do shit. It's over. Right. He decides you're not going to, like, it's crazy to me to think that he did not have a Bob Backlund type fucking WWF championship run.
He could have.
Yeah.
I bet there was more money traveling around for him.
Could have been. The other thing, too, is that I'm guessing it's harder to write stories. Because who's going to fucking stand up to Andre the Giant and win the title?
Right.
You know, you could have done it with, it's even hard to do it as a face, like as face Andre. I think it'd be hard to do too, because there's no one to fucking, like, who's going to take Andre?
I feel bad for Andre because he was a couple years down the line, he's a feud with the Warrior. You know, you feel bad for anybody who's got a feud with the Warrior, but he showed the Warrior what it was like when he was getting reckless.
I know. I've watched some of those matches recently. It's fucking awesome.
He's a guy who will put you in your place.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to fuck around with the Giant.
No. He said that was enough. You better fucking stop. It's great. I actually recently watched the Andre documentary again. I love the guy, man. I'm very fascinated by just Andre the Giant in general.
I think you're right there. He was a face for most of his career. So having this giant face guy, yeah, he would have been unbeatable. He would have had to have been a heel.
Yeah. And I think
as
what
champion.
I think what he did a lot of the time, like as he's you know, going from town to town when he's, you know, essentially back in the territories, a lot of what he did was battle royals and handicap matches.
Right.
So he was really a, you know, he was really a spectacle. So I don't know, man. He is awesome. I already love him, and this is going to be a fun time watching him.
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's been disqualified from the tournament along with the Hulkster, and that's going to take us to the end of our first episode. You got to tune in to find out how the rest of this thing
cassette tape
wraps
number
up.
One ends now.
There's plenty of action to come, though, man. We got the semifinals and the finals of the world title tournament. We got DiBiase, Morocco, Valentine, Mach, and the gang advancing. And then we also got the Honky Tonk defending that title against Brutus. We got a six-man match with Bobby the Brain in action with the Island Boys taking on the animal team of the Bulldogs and Coco Beware. And we got my early pick for match of the year with Strikeforce taking on Demolition for the tag titles.
Yeah, man. We'll probably find out who Vanna Chug and Plugged.
We're going to get an indication, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So this was, I'm pretty excited to be started on this season, man. I am very disappointed with the officiating. I didn't remember all that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, though, it's great to see these old characters from the childhood listening to Jesse and Gorilla and Gene as a treat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, obviously, we just started. This is like part one of episode one, and I'm already fucking way happier than I have been for the past two seasons. So
you probably noticed a more positive tone.
Yeah.
This episode.
Yeah.
The past few have been, a lot of my notes have just been about what has sucked, you know?
Oh, shit. That was like all my notes. I think it was starting to seep into my personal life. Fucking everything. I hated everything. Somebody do this, I'm like, oh, great. Another fucking time to the floor. That's fucking fantastic. And I'm like doing laundry. I'm like, oh, great. Can't fucking find my other sock. That's fucking fantastic.
And so far, no dives to the floor.
Not even one.
Yeah, I want to thank you for tuning in. This is going to be, this might be our best season. I'm going to make a prediction there. It's going to be a fun time. Until next time, I'm Duke Bags. Pull one out of there.
There you go.
Duke Bags, pull it up. I was going to wait for you to slide it in there first.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, we're going to do a little bit, but we'll get to it. I am handsome, Kevin. Yes, lad. I'm getting there. Slide in. Pull it out. Just slide it in. Pull it out.
I got one for Vanna to slide in there.